Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to show wisdom today and courage to your saints, considering the war that's coming, and giving us wisdom and discernment. And we praise you, Father, that you've already given us the victory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right. I'm going to talk to you about the faction election war and how it's going to be won. First, I'm going to share this word from Rick Sergeant that he got about the 2020 elections on the 12th of this month. And he said, I, the Lord, sit on the throne of heaven. I see the secret dealings of evil men as they collude together in darkness. They say to themselves, we got this. No one can see us nor stop us. They have just that confidence. I know it. I've been dealing with them for years. They always have confidence and they always lose. But it's the demon that builds up their confidence to push them out to do things that they wouldn't normally do that are actually dangerous and that can be found out about, even. Yeah. He went on to say, I, the Lord, sit on the throne of heaven and laugh at their plans. Yes, he does. For their plans will come to nothing. I agree. Oh, they will bring down, I know, the Lord has shown me, their plans will bring down some of apostate Christianity for the purpose of God. But other than that, fulfilling their plans, they're not going to be able to do it. I, the Lord, sit on the throne of heaven. I laugh at Facebook. I laugh at YouTube and others. I laugh at their fact checkers. I, the Lord, will call them out. I will say, check, and they will make one last move, and I, the Lord, will say, checkmate. Yeah. They will lose their liberty because they abused their liberty. And I, the Lord, sit on the throne of heaven. I have put a crown on the head of Donald J. Trump, and no man shall take his crown. For I have anointed him and appointed him for the highest office in the land. Some people deny this, but he is Trump. He is Trump the Cyrus. If you go and read all the places that Cyrus was spoken about, even though he didn't know the Lord in his fullness for sure, he respected him, and God accomplished through him the deliverance of God's people from bondage to their deep state and set them free to go and build their land. And I believe our Cyrus Trump is going to be victorious. He's going to finish the job. Garrett Crawford sent this to us. This is Dana Coverstone's dream. And he said, could this key be the key to the bottomless pit? I think in a way it is. The very key that unlocks hell on earth. Yes, and releases the demons in this war. Yeah. And he gives a link to the whole thing. He said, then I saw a Conestoga wagon, with Kamala Harris driving it, led by two mules, the right and the left of the Democratic Party. And Joe Biden was riding the one on the left. In other words, he is far left even in his party. And that's why, of course, a lot of Democrats are fleeing the Democratic Party, because they can see where they're headed in a communist revolution. And they're not that crazy yet, so they're coming out. At her side, there was a mechanical box that would trigger the dynamite. And it, that is the plunger, was in the upright position. In other words, she was ready to set off the bomb. And, of course, this is a spiritual bomb, no doubt. It could be physical, but it's probably spiritual. The wind blew the covering back to reveal several cases of older-style dynamite and some just loose in an open wicker basket. Well, you know, the older-style dynamite was very unstable, and you had to be very careful how you moved it around. You had to turn it because the explosive stuff would settle in the bottom of the sawdust that they used to hold it together. And it would become unstable, dangerous for people who transported it. And that's, I think, a sign here because it's dangerous for these people who think they're going to blow up the plans of Donald Trump. Harris began whipping the mules and hitting Biden as well with the whip. He probably wouldn't know it. The mules started moving, but Biden was oblivious as the wagon started picking up speed, heading towards a target. Oh my gosh, Biden's in the lead on the left mule, headed towards a target with the bomb behind him. Does he know that? He didn't appear to. Hillary Clinton was standing behind President Trump, who was on his knees, and she held a Roman gladius knife to the left side of his neck. She was wearing what resembled a Wilma Flintstone dress that was ugly and unfinished. And, you know, our dress represents our works, according to the Bible. And her works are crude, let me say, in this description. She is a caveman. Anyway, she had a very gaudy ring on her index finger that looked like it had blood on it. Well, once again, representing her authority, the ring, to bring death. Yes, and she's done quite a bit of that. She's very good at it. Been doing it for a long time. She just graduated to the big time where she could do it to more people. There was a skeleton key. A skeleton? That sounds like death too. There was a skeleton key hanging from her neck and was dangling in front of President Trump's eyes. And it had blood and black mold all over it. And it had stained the front of her dress with a stain that looked like lightning symbol for the Nazi SS. Yes, you've seen the zigzag, you know, Nazi SS symbol. Fits her pretty good. The key to release the demons of death on the earth is what this, I believe, represents. Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fallen unto the earth. And there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And I'm afraid America's going to look like a furnace with all the chimneys being the cities out there burning. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Yep. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. So the key was to open the pit, and the pit was full of locusts. And locusts are a class of demons. And power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So, God has given power to the demons, and they have power wherever God is not and wherever God permits. And the best thing to do is be filled with God's power, and you won't have to worry about them. and I shouldn't leave out God's holiness or separation from sin unto God, right? So locusts are a class of demons, and the satanic deep state plan on releasing witchcraft, rebellion, anarchy, slander, lying, murder, communism, demons loose on the earth, right? Yes, and they've been doing that. And it comes out of the mouth of their false prophet. Does that sound familiar? Because that's where it comes. And people don't realize the longer this thing goes on and the mainstream media is able to continue lying and slandering, they are imparting demons to people who, not known to themselves, are affected by these demons and totally change. If they are not protected by the blood of the Lamb, they are totally changed to people that are, well, Nazis. They don't care about democracy. They do not believe in democracy any more than Islam does. They don't believe. They believe in forcing their will on you. We know them. Okay. The Nazis killed many Jews and twice as many Christians. And as you know, in Operation Paperclip, they were imported into what is now the CIA to infect them. Do you know demons are imparted from demon-possessed people? This is happening. And, you know, we've been telling you about the faction in the church, how they impart demons. And to people who are disobedient, are living in sin, even though they're trying to hide it, etc. And so they get taken out, and their mind is changed, their ways are changed. If you were to show them before they were infected what would happen to them, they would laugh at you. In fact, their head told me it'll never happen to him. That's what he told me. It will never happen to me. He told me that three times, and then, boom, he was gone. The wagon started picking up speed, and Harris pushed the plunger on the trigger and jumped off the wagon. Okay, she didn't want to go down with the ship, right? They must have a plan for her, right? As it headed towards, what, Clinton and Trump. Isn't that something? It's headed towards Clinton and Trump. But on one of the mules is Biden. Have they decided that Biden and Clinton are... they know too much? Maybe they've decided they're expendable? Anyway, so they will... they'll sacrifice their own, like Biden and Hillary, to try to get President Trump. And, of course, Harris could then be president. Oh, my. Think that was the plan all along? I do. I think their plan was to get rid of Biden and step her forward. Anyway, Hillary's face was giddy. But I saw that there was a large animal trap close to her leg. Well, you know what the Bible says about people who lay traps. They always fall into it themselves. When the wicked lay a trap, they fall into it themselves. God says this over and over and over. So now they've laid a trap for President Trump. And there's one that she's about to step into, right? So the beast is going to be caught in their own trap, as the scriptures often show. I've heard people, including Q, say, these people are stupid. I could have told them that. We call them the stupid demons. We've been doing that since 2011 because it makes people so stupid. Even when they had a lot of understanding, even from the scriptures, it's gone. It's just gone, you know. So, you want to know why Trump's out trumping them? If you want to know why he's outsmarting them, it's not as hard as you think. Okay. Trump grabbed the key hanging in front of him and pulled it down. So that key that was hanging around Hillary's neck, he yanked it down. Then he struck Hillary's face with his fist as it came down. She dropped the knife and stepped into the trap. You see? She stepped into the trap. And the this is like a cartoon, isn't it? Stepped into the trap, and the president ran off quickly. And that just reminded me of this verse in Psalm 141 and 10. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. I don't think the president's going to lose a thing here. And Garrett, you know, who sent this portion of the dream to me, he gave a note. He said, they think that they have Trump trapped and cornered, and now is the time they get rid of Biden before Inauguration Day so that Kamala can become president. It's a perfect setup. But it will fail, and Garrett believes that too. So, I heard three handgun shots and watched three Secret Service agents in suits jump in front of all three bullets to shield the president as he got into the beast, which is the presidential limo, and was taken away to safety. Interesting. Handgun shots. Could this be crazies? I got to tell you, because people who are professional killers don't usually choose handguns. You know, they get further away, which is more safe for them, and they shoot with a long gun. So, but he escaped to safety, praise the Lord. And we've been praying for that, and that's why he keeps doing it. The Secret Service agents surrounded the car with muskets and no sunglasses on. Well, I'm not sure why muskets, other than the fact that it won't take a whole lot to defend him. I mean, muskets aren't repeaters, you know. It's kind of a slow thing, you know. The deep state's desperate to kill President Trump, as they did JFK and Abe. Good old Abe. But, and a lot of other people in between, sure. Well, Hillary tried to pull her leg away, but could not. And the wagon struck her, and there was a great explosion, which damaged buildings and a big hole. And, of course, Hillary went up in smoke. It also threw the carcasses of the mules up on top of the building rubble where the smoke was coming off them like they had been grilled. So they were smoked. Now, I just still believe that this is probably talking about the Democratic Organized Crime Party and the end of it. Yes, I do believe, and I've been saying that for a while, that I thought we might see the end of the Democratic Party soon. I do believe it. They've made a lot of mistakes, and they're caught at every one of them. They couldn't hide anything. You know, they just couldn't. It's kind of like our faction. They can't hide anything. That's why they want to kill dreamers and prophets and visions. The people that do them, they tried to kill them because they're telling on them, telling all their secrets. There's no difference between them and the deep state. Yeah. They're just the deep state and the church. Biden was laying face down in the middle of the street with wheel tracks over him. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? And a vulture was sitting on his head. You see, I told you. A vulture was sitting on his head. And Harris was crying in disbelief, not because of Biden or because of Hillary, but because they missed the president. She was losing her chance to be president, right? And her tears looked like they were the size of quarters. So, it did bring some grief to her. She's been hiding out, by the way. You haven't heard much from her. But Biden's saying a lot, which is why they want to kill him. And I saw the church with a separation line and no middle ground. Wow, isn't this something? God is separating the right from the left. And he actually says, no middle ground left. As sides had to have been taken. So, this is bringing a division in the church, too. And it's true, because there are many leftists in the so-called church. And, you know, they don't believe in the Word of God like leftists do. They don't stand for it as it's spoken, as leftists do. They're angry against Christians on the right quite often, as leftists do, you know. So there is a division. And no middle ground. In other words, there's no way to bring them back together. Because God is in the business of sanctifying the real church, which is the called out ones, ecclesia, the called out ones. They're coming out from among them. There is a separation that God is making that is going to be eternal. There was fire on the altars in churches around the nation, and fire moved on the heads of people who had been praying. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Acts 2 and 3, and there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. There it is. No, this thing is going to, I believe, restore the fear of the Lord. Glory be to God. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Americans feel insulated from all the troubles of the world. And there's a natural barrier there, obviously. You know, and Trump's tried to close that up somewhat to give some sort of semblance of safety from all everything that's been flooding over the border and things like that. But we're bordered by water and so on. And so people feel insulated because they've missed out on a lot of things that unless the rest of the world have had to go through. But I can tell you, we're fixing to go through it again here now. You know, this is like a civil war. And I believe people will be lost. I believe not only are they going to shoot people, that they're still going to release a plague that's more dangerous than what we have seen. You know, I believe our prayers will be answered to an extent. I think the Lord told us way back at the beginning that when this started, he didn't want us to do away with it in our prayers, but we could lessen it, you know. And that's because he has some people he wants to take out. Yeah. And let me say this, that as hard as Trump and the right wing do their best and the so-called patriots do their best to take this down, I don't believe they're going to be able to do it without an act of God. I just don't believe it. You know, the Red Sea, which he's explained to us, is what we're talking about here, which takes down the factions. It was an act of God. Nobody could take credit for that. The Sennacherib scenario, same thing. It was an act of God. Nobody could take credit for it. The nations heard about what happened at the Red Sea, and they knew that their God was God. the Jehoshaphat scenario, you know, where the three armies came against them and they ended up killing each other off and leaving the loot for the bride, Jerusalem, and the northern army who, you know, was attacking Jerusalem. They had already, by the way, taken down the rest of Israel and Judah. And now they were converging on Jerusalem, and God smote them. And so, and that's the way it was with the Sennacherib scenario. He smote them supernaturally. All their mighty men, and they fled, but not fast enough. So, this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's going to come because the fear of the Lord and the respect for His Word will return to the church. And this is a good time to be praying and continuing to believe for your loved ones, not being double-minded or fearful because you're afraid they'll be taken out. Do you believe your prayers that you pray? See, we make our own future by believing prayers. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. That's, see, you can make, if you have faith, you can make your own future. If you have evil, you also make your own future. So, anyway. And above the heads of many people in the church, I saw the actual question mark symbol above them. And they appeared very confused by what they were seeing in the world and in the church. Why could they be confused? Could it be because of the pablum that their preachers have been preaching, you know? Could it be because of the peace and prosperity that they've been preaching to their congregation who want to hear that? Could that be it? Why are they so confused that a civil war is coming? They obviously don't believe in prophets, and they don't believe in dreamers, and they don't believe in all this stuff. They've left the supernatural behind, so they've gotten themselves in a trap here. They have cast out the ways that God speaks to His children. A majority of the church just does not believe any of this. So they're in the dark about what's coming, and they're going to make all the fleshly steps that people normally make, but they're going to fail. And I do believe they're going to attack the church and attack right-wing people and attack Trump supporters and this kind of thing. I heard a voice say, those who refuse to get ready will be wanting in the end. So brace yourself and tell others that I have warned them to brace themselves, for they are about to see even more shocking things. Yes, some really shocking things are going to. Some people are going to believe it's unbelievable what revelations come out about these wicked people. And not preparing? This is what the church does who believes in their prosperity all fly away doctrine. We're not going to see any trouble. That's their doctrine. We're not going to see any trouble. We'll not see the beast. Well, what is that out there in front of us if that's not the beast? We're not going to see the beast. We're not going to see tribulation. Is this not tribulation? Maybe it's not the tribulation, but it's tribulation. They don't believe they're going to see any of this stuff. They've been taught they're going to fly away. So they're just resting in the flesh. They're not getting prepared. You have to get prepared to leave. They think they are prepared to leave simply because they confessed that Jesus was their Savior one time. Listen, they're not getting prepared to leave. You have to get prepared to leave, and you have to get prepared to stay. Because there's a lot of people that are going to stay. A whole lot of people that are going to stay. And they're not prepared to stay. And they're not prepared to leave. And probably even at the end of the tribulation period, they won't be prepared to leave. A lot of them won't. Yeah. So, the Lord gives that warning. Brace themselves. What can they do? Okay, here's a revelation given to Sandy Shaw. That's why they hate her so much. It's nice to be hated by wicked people, because then you know you're in the right. You know, we call this Trump wins and anarchy begins. This is really something. You know, I think I'm going to just share with you just this piece here, and then I'm going to jump on to the next one and talk about this more fully afterwards. And in this dream, me and David are in the living room standing in front of an old console TV. It had a split screen. On the right side, it showed the background of the White House, and the commentator was saying, "It's now official. Trump has won the presidency." And it showed the number of votes for Trump and Biden. The other side of the screen, they were showing war in our cities. People were shooting each other, etc. So now I'm going to jump on to this next revelation and come back to this more fully in a moment. This is also given to Sandy Shaw, and she named it Antifa and Black Lives Matter are coming. Now, I want to say that she speaks of a couple of cities here, but they could be any cities, because she was saying they were going from city to city, bringing this destruction. Okay, so don't pay a whole lot of attention to just this one. It's a kind of a type, a microcosm of the macrocosm, right? Let's see. In this dream, I know that the military is still all the way for Trump. They do not work for Biden. It's not just the National Guard. And I know that the Marines are fully cooperating with Trump also, and certain pockets of military are with Trump. So she knew this in the dream. And usually when you know something in the dream, that means it's probably right. So in this dream, I'm sitting in the dining room looking outside the window. I don't see them, but I hear them. Helicopters. And it reminded me of when I lived in California. It was like when the police were searching for criminals. So I started praying for whatever was going on. And then I started to have a vision. I saw a bunch of pickup trucks coming down the highway from a small city. They were full of people, dressed in black. And when I saw them, I immediately thought of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And at the end of the truck caravan were old school buses filled with more BLM. They made a turn to our street and into the middle of town. So they were going down the middle of town. The next town. They had already left the first town. And now they were going down the middle of the town close to us. And then the vision changes. And there are military trucks filled with National Guards. There were 10 trucks. They were ready with weapons. Then I saw the enemy get out of their trucks and run into the streets. There were hundreds of them running into the streets, shooting up the buildings and all of the old houses that were downtown, breaking down the doors, killing people, putting buildings on fire, and they blew up the post office. Nobody was safe, except, of course, God's people. And Antifa and BLM didn't care who they killed, young men, old men, women, and children. Yes, there's a spirit of murder in the midst of them. And I read an article about the governor of California, how that he was caught, and I suspect they're biding their time to bring him in when they want to, but how he was caught using taxpayer money that was sent to the state for other purposes in order to buy weapons from outside the United States for these troops of theirs. And that's how they end up with these weapons. That's one way that they end up with these weapons. So this is organized crime to the max. These people do not believe in democracy, or they wouldn't know that they had to cheat in order to bring in their communism. They don't believe in democracy. They believe in exercising authority. They're very self-righteous, about what should be done. But they don't leave that up to the people. They take care of that themselves. The people don't have sense enough to know. Okay. And we know Biden is the same. He's extremely left, and he knows the people don't know enough. He was quoting the Palms the other day. I guess y'all heard about that, the Palms. He said it twice, the Palms. He was talking about the Psalms, the Palms. Turned right side up. In other words, put it in my palm here. Give me more, you know. He was quoting that. He obviously had never been around anybody that quoted the Bible from Psalms, or neither did he read the Psalms, you know, obviously. But he was a politician, not very believable. So the National Guard had made it to the other side of town near the post office that had just been blown up. They stopped and heard the words, "Get out and engage." Some of the trucks and the military got out, and trucks kept going and got out at a different corner. So they were dropping people off, you know, to engage the enemy. They were at war, and they were fighting. Two of the military trucks made it all the way through town. The National Guard was blowing up enemy trucks and their buses. In other words, we're going to stop this thing here. We'll take down their transportation. We'll stop them here. We'll fight this here, right? Because they were going from town to town, right? Now, you don't want to take this all literally, step by step, literally. You know, it's symbolism, you know. What kind of warfare they're going to do, it's going to be kind of guerrilla warfare, right? So the National Guard were finding people trying to hide. A guardsman found a small group of people and said, "Go, run, and hide in the hills of the city and see if you can get to the smaller city that we was talking about earlier." But someone said, "That city is already destroyed." Then the vision stopped, and still in the dream in my dining room, Merlene, Amber, Angelica, Vanessa, Eve came to the front door And someone said, we came to clean your windows and wipe down the walls and mop the floors. And I said, wait a minute. You may not want to do that. Chaos and fighting are in the city. So you need to go back home and stay out of town. Don't let them see you, or you can stay here. And I said, listen, hear the helicopters? And then I woke up. Well, then she had another dream. After this one, a part two, that was on 11/24, and this one is on 11/25. And she said, this dream was part two, and it starts the same. But in a dream, when I have the vision, I'm standing on the ground, and I can see in more detail. I heard in more detail their plans. And they have been going around in different states, starting from one end and going to the other, killing people. Especially those who were for President Trump. But it really didn't matter. They were going to finish creating their new world. You know, this stupid spirit gets into students when they go sit under these leftist professors who push communism upon them. And you can't point out history to these people, how communism has never worked. It always kills a lot of people. Always. It's always failed because there's no motivation for people to work when they don't get paid any more than the next guy and they don't own anything. So there's no real motivation to work. As every communist country has come to realize, the carnal man needs some motivation. And they just don't have it. And it crumbles. The economy crumbles because of this. If anybody would look at history, they would never think of going to communism. They would never think of it while they still had their brains. But you know what? These kids sit under that garbage and those demons take them over. Now, I'm not saying these are all kids. Some of these are trained professional killers. And they were trained in other countries and brought in over the border and through flights and many other ways they were brought in. So anyway, Sandy went on to say they were going to finish creating their new world. Well, they will be so sad because the first thing they do is kill off the foot soldiers that brought them to power. They're not going to see a new world. There were more National Guard that were brought in helicopters. They were called snipers. Yeah. The Lord had taken me to stores, and there was nothing in the stores, and they were all shot up. In the restaurants, and all the food was taken. Walmart was completely boarded up. You know, I got to tell you, there is a wall. Now, that wouldn't be boarded up in a war zone, but there is a Walmart in that city right there that is boarded up. Just thought of that. But at the back of Walmart, I could see where BLM were bringing in things in crates. What do you suppose that means? Coming in the back door, right? We're bringing in things in crates. And then the vision ended. I got to tell you something about Walmart, folks. It's been leftist from the beginning since Sam left. It's been leftist and going more left, and it supports the deep state. And as you know, many of you know, Walmarts are at the end of a lot of tunnels that are in going to the underground cities and things. They've proven that, et cetera. So it's Walmart's not what a lot of people think it is. I was here in the dining room again, and the women were coming into the room from the door. The only thing different was when the Lord said, "Call David, it hasn't started yet." Okay, it hasn't started yet. Call David. I suppose that means Thanksgiving, or maybe the leftovers from Thanksgiving are still around. Because she said, "I smell the turkey," and that woke me up. So, and it hadn't begun. So now we know, you guys that are still eating on your turkey, it hadn't begun. The massacre had not started yet. The Supreme Court has not ruled, I believe, Trump as president, but that could be the signal to start the anarchy. Yeah, we'll see. They could. I mean, obviously, it appears from one of the dreams that they had decided and that they had the true numbers and so on and so forth. "And I received these verses by faith at random. My faith came down on narrow and wide gates." Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of people going through the wide gate, right? The Lord said in Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate." In other words, enter into God's kingdom. This kingdom is crumbling, right? "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many that enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." That's the most important thing. If this war brings about a return of a fear of God, and a return of the faith in God, it will have done its work, because many people are marching headlong through the wide gate to hell. And we pray that this happens. Okay, here's some revelation. Witchcraft used in church and state factions. This is true. Witchcraft is common. Satanists are common in both factions. And witchcraft is common. Witchcraft is powerful when it's used with slander and lies to pervert the mind of people, to make them angry. And if you stop them and ask them, "Why are you angry?" they probably can't tell you. Because it's just a matter of them being taken over by these demons. It's their mind now, you know. So anyway, this first revelation was given to Jeff Shaw on 11/19, this 2020. And first thing we did this morning was we started praying for the lawyers representing Trump and all those who are fighting against the demonic factions. The lawyers report that witchcraft is being sent against them. Yeah, most people wouldn't recognize that, but at least they got sense enough to know it. Witchcraft is being sent against them. So pray against the witchcraft. Pray that God's people will be delivered and that they'll be protected, right? So Jeff said, "In a dream, it was dark out, and our house was dark as we just got in from going out, and as I went to the living room door to turn the lights on at the switches, well, this person, whom we know as a witch and a Judas, who works for the factious leader and has tried to kill Sandy because her dreams are revealing their sins and their plans. And we have quite a few dreamers here that do that. But in particular, they have a hatred for her. And they've killed a few people that we know who fell away and died shortly after they were attacked with witchcraft and slander. And you could tell they just weren't there. And they've tried to kill me a few times. And we've gotten warnings and dreams about that too. So he went on to say, she tried breaking into our front door, and I yelled to Tyambi to go and pray. Go pray. And I believe the attempted break-in is spiritual, not physical, but it's real. When we get warnings, we know what they're doing before they do it. We've got better intelligence, let me say. Then I shoved Sandy into our room and shut our bedroom door. Yeah. Because obviously he knew that they were out to get her. And the witch tried to continually break into our house, and I was fighting her off with the door. And I yelled at her, "You're not allowed in my house." Well, we know what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, right? We have authority over their demons. They have authority. The devil has authority. You can't take his authority away. You can't even take witches' authority away when they're doing something that God has permitted them to do. And what is that? Well, they are administrators of the curse. And the curse, as you read Deuteronomy 28, never mind the prosperity preachers out there who say God doesn't send these things, read Deuteronomy 28 one time and you will find out they are lying in their teeth. You know, they do not know God. God does use wicked vessels. Hateful, wicked vessels to do his work. And if someone steps out from under the blood, that's where these people have opportunity. When they live out from under the blood, and they need to be put back under the blood, that's when these people find their opportunity, because they have a legal, scriptural right to torment. Just like Jesus said about those who don't forgive. You see, these people are tormented by demons. Why? Because they don't forgive. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if you don't forgive everyone, your brother from the heart, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors. And that's the demons. 1 Corinthians 5, he turned a man over to the demons for the destruction of his flesh, so his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Right? So the Lord does give legal right to the devil to administer the curse on those who are under the curse. What you have to do is make sure you're not under the curse. And so, but Jesus said to those disciples, which is a learner and a follower of Jesus, right? What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And of course, that's what Jeff was doing here. You're not allowed. Okay. And here's one from Sandy Shaw, 11/21, this 2020. And Don and Merlene transcribed it for her. And it's all about demons trying to kill Sandy. Listen, the demons out there in the deep state want to kill the people that they hate. And in this case, a lot of them are Trump supporters. A lot of them are Christians. They hate Christians for that purpose too. although politically they don't really like to say that, but they do. Communists do too. Communists hate Christians. So what I'm showing you here by looking at two sides of this thing is it's true on both sides. There's a perfect parallel between the faction in the church and the faction in the government or in the secular world. So she said, when I went to dialysis, the demons were running amok, telling me I was going to die. There's that attack Jeff was talking about, right? And after hearing that for about 30 minutes, I said, tomorrow is not promised to you, and I know where I am going. True. The man sitting next to me in his late 70s, full of demons, and telling me of his sexual encounters with both male and female. See, this is one of the common things about these people is they all seem to fall into... I mean, if you look at the people they're prosecuting, they're full of sex crimes. I'm talking about the deep state, full of them. And the faction that we're talking about are too. And we know about them. They think we don't, but we do. We know everything about them. Okay. So he was talking about all this to Sandy, and she had enough of it. And she said, I got so upset that I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I didn't want to hear what he was saying. And a simple quote, I said, I don't want to hear it. But they had no effect on those demons, so I used some more choice words out of anger. And as she said, she had to repent, shut the guy up. When I got home, I started, let me say this, people, it doesn't get better for people that go down that road. It gets worse and worse, and finally they're so stupid that they just talk right out in public like this guy. When I got home, I started having severe menstrual cramps. I have not had a cycle in 10 years, and now I was hemorrhaging. And I called Merlene, and she started a prayer chain. A couple of hours later, Merlene said to everyone that everyone had prayed. And I remembered when I told her I would wake up and I would feel refreshed and renewed and healed. Praise the Lord. Yes, and that's what happened. And the reason why I'm sharing this is how the enemy tried to put things on us to manifest the curse and to impart their demons. That's what they do. You know what? The Word of God is a defense against them. If you do not depart from the commands of God, there's nothing they can do to you. The reason they capture people, they capture those who depart from the doctrines and the commands of Jesus. And when they depart from that, they get taken out supernaturally. They think that they are strong in themselves to withstand such a thing, and they wouldn't do this and they wouldn't do that. I've heard them say it before. And it doesn't make a bit of difference. They just go. Because the Lord, the Father, is turning them over. So, and here's another one, Sandy Shaw, 11:20. Don and Merlene transcribed it for. In a dream, I am praying for the bulletin board, which is people that we pray for. Put their pictures up there and we pray for them and ask the Lord to save them and deliver them and heal them and so on and so forth. You know. And everyone on it. So she prays for the people on her bulletin board. My prayer changed and I said, Lord, only you know what can change hearts and bring them, that is the faction, to their knees. Because we pray for them to be saved. They prayed to kill us. And I'm asking you, Lord, how can I touch the hem of your garment to be pleasing to you? Teach me the words you want me to say that the enemy cannot take away. That's when the enemy came in my dream saying, "Where are you? Was it your time?" In other words, did you go this time? They asked just such questions in the flesh, because we've heard them, to see if their witchcraft killed, in this case, Sandy. But they always fail because their God is not the God, right? And when you depend on the God, Psalm 91 is your psalm. They don't have Psalm 91. So guess what's going to happen when the plagues come through? And when's the shootings start? Who is God going to take out? Well, you might be surprised. There may be some people who are good in their way, up to their level of knowledge, and they don't need to go through the things that are coming, and they're taken out. But one thing we know is spoken over and over and over through the Bible is that the wicked are going to be taken out. So God can take out some good folks, and he can take out a lot of bad folks, and he can drain the swamp. He is the one that people are praying to drain the swamp. And he will be victorious. And the demon went on to say, God doesn't hear you. He doesn't care about you. You're nothing. You're a nobody. It's almost the end of the year, and God is going to give me your life. And I remember saying, shut up. I'm so tired of your lies. That was the end of that one. So here's another one from Sandy. And it's the one we started, and I'm going to finish it this time. And Don and Marlene transcribed it. And Trump wins, and anarchy begins. In this dream, me and David are in the living room, standing in front of an old console TV. It had a split screen. And on the right side, it showed the background of the White House, and the commentator was saying, quote, it is now official. Trump has won the presidency. And it showed the number of votes for Trump and Biden, in other words, the honest votes. They really got themselves in a pinch because they had were pacing themselves with like a 3% swap, you know, for Trump and Biden or something like that. And when they saw that it was a terrible landslide, they quickly had to start throwing a lot more numbers in there. And this is what got them caught. They were desperate. They laid a trap and they fell into it. Let me put it that way. They got caught because it was unbelievable. And everybody, even stupid people, would say, that's unbelievable. So it showed the number of true votes for Trump and Biden. And the other side of the screen, they were showing war in our cities. Yes. People were shooting at each other. Yeah. I really can't imagine the radical crazy left could win such a war, but you couldn't tell them that. They wouldn't believe it. They're all pumped up by those demons that they're going to be successful. I know that. I've been around the people that have been given into those same demons, and they always think they're going to be victorious until it all collapses. So they're shooting at each other. The police and the National Guard were out, and we could see things exploding. Then the Pennsylvania governor came on TV and said, secede from the Union, unquote. Yeah. Sound familiar? Yeah, sounds like a civil war, doesn't it? And by the way, this is the nature of faction. When you got faction, you can't stand up under scrutiny. You can't stand up to debate anybody sensically. You just run. And that's what they're doing. Seceding from the union, that is what faction is, you see. Then the Lord said to me, it's time to go get Missy. Now, Missy lives in Pennsylvania. She comes here ever so often. But she lives in Pennsylvania. And, of course, Pennsylvania, according to what we just read, have kind of cut themselves off from the rest. And probably during martial law, so travel may be impossible except for God, right? And I turned to David and I said, David, the Lord just told me I have to go get Missy. And he said, well, I think you better go get her then. Then the Lord took me to Merle and Missy's front door. And when I knocked at the door, Merle answered it and was surprised. Sandy, what are you doing here? I said, I came to get you and Missy. And he looked outside and he didn't see any car. And he said, how did you get here? I said, the Lord brought me here. I said, where's Missy? He said that she is in the house. And she said, I was watching for you. And Missy grabbed Merle's hand, and I grabbed Merle's other hand. And then we were in my front yard. And Merle said, what just happened? And I said, the Lord just translated us. And then I woke up. And Eve also had a dream that they were here, you know. So, let me say this. With martial law and people deciding that they're separating from the union, which is means closing their borders, right? And travel may just be impossible, except for God. And all things are possible with God, are they not? I'll just say this real quickly. I've reported on different aspects of it over the years, but never really all in one place. But I've been translated in a body to the other side of the world to preach. And I was translated in a vehicle, which suddenly moved many, many miles ahead. And that's where I found myself very quickly. And one time I went to take a flight, and they were closing the doors and moving the plane out. And the lady said, you're late, and you have to go back to the lobby and, you know, get another one. So I went and got another ticket, and the ticket was to the same plane, and I went and got on the plane. It was like, and they didn't know anything had happened. God is in, he doesn't dwell in time. We do that. We get surprised when God messes with time, but he can do that. He can make you arrive before you left. So anyway, it was important for me to get on that plane. I was going to be speaking in another city on all these things that I talk about concerning the beast and the harlot and the United States and on. So here's a kind of a revelation, I would say, of the hate that these people have. It's unbelievable. But you understand, you're dealing with demons here. You're not even dealing with this person anymore. This was sent to me. It's a letter that was put in a Trump supporter's mailbox. Listen, to whom it may concern, you are receiving this letter, as you still have Trump signs posted on your property. This is a reminder to you that every major news source, including Fox News, has called the race for Joe Biden. Illegally, yeah. Even Pennsylvania GOP Senator Pat Toomey says that Donald Trump's attempt to get state legislatures to dismiss the will of voters is inconsistent with a democratic society. Well, you know, there is lots of people in the deep state. They're not all Democrats. Yeah, but they're all leftists. By continuing to support Trump and his false claims of election fraud, you are actively threatening our country's democracy and the will of the people. So now they're making the peaceful people the outlaws. That's what they do. Can you imagine? Listen, when Trump and everybody thought he lost the election, who rioted? Even with their million man gathering there. Who rioted? Who burned any houses down? Who burned a city down? Who? Nobody. And now that they think they've lost the election, they're going to burn everything down. That's how crazy these people are. And you can't make any sense of what they do, and you can't give them any sense. It's just not possible. And then the letter goes on. Election day was over 3 weeks ago. Your signs are a continual stain on our neighborhood, and we ask that you remove them immediately. The community has its eyes on you, and your ignorance is extremely unwelcome here. Every time my family is forced to drive past and look at your signs, we are reminded of the immense hatred and welcomeness that Donald Trump and his followers have for people of color, members of the LGBT and community, such as myself, and literally every other minority group. So this is it. They got no common sense left. They blame you for just what they are. You see what I'm talking about? Just what they are. And everything that they blamed Trump for so self-righteously, they were doing. Yeah. So, and you are the enemy. And he goes on, it's time you take a step back and do some self-reflection. Something they wouldn't dare do. Removing the Trump signs from your property is the least that you can do to make up for the hatred you have helped spread throughout this community. I'm sure that this person didn't put any letters in anybody's mailboxes. I'm talking about the person that they were assailing here. You know, I'm sure they didn't do anything like that. They're peaceable people, you know. But these people are not peaceable, and they get out of hand pretty quickly. I have taken the liberty of writing the names of some unbiased news sources on the back of this letter that I hope you choose to look into in the future. Well, I'm sure we wouldn't want to do that. Additionally, I have attached a photo of Senator Pat Toomey's latest tweet acknowledging Trump's defeat and congratulating President-elect Joe Biden. It's never too late to repent for the sins that you have committed. However, should you choose to ignore this letter and the results of the election, this will not be the last you hear from us. Sincerely, your annoyed neighbors. Now, whether they had neighbors, plural, or just one nut, it really doesn't, we don't know. But they always are very self-righteous about their wickedness. It's you that's the problem. And that's the problem with the faction everywhere. Those spirits are always blame others for what they are doing. Okay. And this is a vision of the Lord awakening against his enemies. It's pretty neat. Marie Kelton, 7:23:20. I had an open vision this morning during the prayer meeting. It was right after Judy finished talking about her verse. Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew, hanging him on a tree. Now, you want to see about some more self-righteous people? Putting their sins upon Jesus? He was the one going about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was the one who was multiplying the food. He was the one that was teaching people to be kind and forgive and turn the other cheek and love your enemies and all. He was the one doing that. These violent people had a spirit of faction. You remember the three guys that withstood Job? And God rebuked him. Said, you go get him to pray for you. I'll listen to his prayers. I'm not listening to yours. Yeah, Job had never done anything but good to them, but they accused him of all kinds of garbage. Very self-righteously. I was looking at the sky through the open door at Denny and Debbie's house, and I saw the Lord Jesus in the sky. He was on a bed, sleeping. But then he wildly woke up from it. Wildly woke up from it? Yeah. This verse came to my mind about the Lord waking up from sleep like a mighty man. Psalm 78:65-66. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And he smote his adversaries backward, and he put them to a perpetual reproach. Wow. Well, sometimes God, the people think God is sleeping. But we've gotten similar, you know, verses as this in our morning prayer meeting, where God arises and his enemies are scattered. You know, and I know that God is waiting for the right time, kind of like those scenarios that we were talking about, where a supernatural move of God impresses people that, oh, there is a God, and oh, he does stand for right and not wrong, and oh, yeah, he does judge the wicked, and so on and so forth. Also, when I saw the vision, the song popped in my head. He's coming in the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Yes, they will. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We know that you're coming to take care of this and finish this thing off, as men are not capable of doing. I think it's going to be seen that men are not capable of doing this. You know, this. Let me say the false prophet news media has been spewing demons out all over America and the world. They have sown the seeds of all nations hating you, like Jesus said they would. Have you ever wondered how could that possibly be? The Christians are peaceable and so on and so forth, and they're not doing anything, trying to help people, bless people, kind of like Jesus, right? And they wanted to kill him. It's a difference in nature. It's a difference in your spirit and their spirit that makes them want to kill you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. It's true. And here's a revelation given to Claire Pinar, 7:23 of this 2020. I asked the Lord as I planned to drift off to sleep to show me where the attack was going to come from, as we're in the midst of a beast/harlot faction in this little town. And she's on the other side of the world. So, you know, it's spreading. And the Lord immediately showed me this vision while I was still awake. I saw myself on a stage in a huge old-fashioned theater with tiered balconies, box seats, and a gallery. I was on the stage down below. People have had dreams and visions about a stage, meaning the stage of the world, right? What's going on out there? What we're all viewing. You know, we don't just view the local natural stage. You know, we're viewing by internet, and some are viewing by TV and so on and so forth, the stage of things that are happening in the world. There's that big question mark over their head, right? The stage took up the entire ground level of the theater. And I had a page boy kind of haircut. And I was wearing a white flowing garment. My hands were by my sides, outstretched with palms facing up outwards. That's palms, not psalms. Right? I think I represent the persecuted true church. I was watching myself from the vantage point of the left box up near the gallery. And I saw snipers in black. They were everywhere with silencer on their guns. I saw red dots everywhere showing the danger in this theater, coming from every possible direction. And I saw myself in the crosshairs. And I prayed for protection for myself. Well, now she represents the church, which is very likely. What we see here is that the church needs to be praying for protection, God's protection. And you know, I got to tell you, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. That's what Jesus said, and he means it. So, put your trust in man or put your trust in God. That's the difference. And, of course, we as believers need to be putting our trust in God and believing in prayer. If Jesus walked up to you and said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. And you knew it was Jesus walking up to you, and he said that to you. Would you be impressed with that verse? Well, let me say, Jesus does still speak that verse to people. And if we're supposed to be believers and obedient, he said, all prayers that you pray, you are to believe you have received, and you shall have them. That's what he said. Now, that's Jesus. Why would you pick one part of Christianity and leave out one of the most important verses where he speaks about all prayer, everything you ask for? And if you got in a situation like that and you believed the Bible and you believed Jesus gave that authority, you would have that authority in you and that power in you. See, people don't act like believers at all. They give in to fear, which is basically faith in the curse and faith in the devil, and they think about what they can do naturally to preserve themselves. Well, no matter what kind of gun you got, somebody's got one bigger. Now, these people that pulled into town to take over the town, God flooded the town with snipers, yes. So, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. There's no doubt for me that what happened there was they took them out. But you can't convince them that they're going to get taken out. They laugh. They scoff. They don't believe that this is possible. Their demon gives them total confidence that what they're doing is right and it'll work, you know. So I prayed for protection for myself, and as the first bullet flew, I was covered by the biggest pair of wings I'd ever seen. Easily twice the size of a man. I didn't see who the wings belonged to, but these wings looked like large hands folding over one another. No bullet could penetrate through that. And then I saw an old-fashioned cartoon-like bomb drop from behind one of the stage lights that were directed straight at me. This bomb fell onto the wings, but instead of exploding, it remained suspended there, diffused, no longer burning, and it tumbled to the ground gently. I remember years ago, Cindy had a dream like that. There was something terrible coming. And she was on this cliff overlooking people who were down below, and these angels with wings came over. This is symbolical, okay? Came over and grabbed two or three people, three or four people at a time, and covered them with their wings to protect them from a evidently great judgment that was coming. Whether it was nuclear or biological or something bad, something big, you know, maybe a tsunami, I don't know. It didn't say. I don't remember anyway. You know, one angel killed 185,000 men in one night, and it probably didn't take all that long. And you knew which ones were the mighty men, too. He wiped out Sennacherib's mighty men. And guess what? They folded and went home. Just one angel. One angel grabbed the devil himself and threw him in the lake of fire. Just one angel. Yeah. The words came to me, "Hide me under the shadow of your wings." Psalm 17 and 8. Amen. And I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and I received this, Luke 21, 20 through 22. But when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, okay, now let me explain Jerusalem here. Jerusalem was the leadership of God's people. And it was totally corrupted, like shortly after Jesus was killed, right? In fact, 40 years after Jesus was killed, it was compassed with armies. And these people were so evil, they were factioning against themselves. They were killing themselves before Titus's armies ever got there. They were killing themselves off. They had an internal faction that killed them. So they factioned against Jesus and his apostles, and God factioned them. And they were killing each other off. They were heaps of bodies that the Romans had to climb over to get in. So Jerusalem here represents the apostate leadership. There is a good Jerusalem in the Bible that represents the righteous leadership. But this was the apostate leadership, and that's why they had been delivered over to the beast, the Roman beast. And Jesus, remember, Jesus told his disciples, you know, when you see this, flee to the mountains. And that's what this text is saying. Let them kill each other off. They're both evil. So when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand. Then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let them that are in the midst of her depart out. Let not them that are in the country enter therein, for these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Ooh, God poured out his vengeance upon those killers of Jesus and his disciples. Josephus said that too. He gave the reason why this happened. He said it was because of the way they treated Jesus and his disciples. He was right. My finger was pointing to mountains and was on, let not them that are in the country enter therein. So come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. He does not want you to partake of their evil. Come out from among them. And I asked the Lord for another word by faith at random and received Micah 7:17-18. With my finger on, they will come trembling out of their dens. People in hiding, in other words. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their close places. Do you suppose what we were talking about earlier is going to happen when all the smoke dies down? That people will have a fear of the Lord and they'll decide, I should have stayed with the Lord all the time. They shall come with fear unto the Lord our God. They shall come with fear unto the Lord our God and shall be afraid because of thee. Well, then they realize these crazy Christians were right. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Yes, and many will have their iniquities pardoned. And passeth over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in loving kindness. He does. And he wants to pardon people, even self-righteous, evil, angry, hateful people. But it's up to him to grant repentance, because the Bible says the Lord grants repentance. Everybody thinks that they just repented. And they sometimes are pretty self-righteous about that. But actually, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, the Bible says. God grants repentance. People have nothing to brag about. What do we have that we did not receive? There's much self-righteousness in Christianity, and it's a real stench in God's nostrils. It permits people to grow into what the Pharisees became, the Sadducees became, in wanting to kill Jesus for goodness sake. They said all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place. Well, they did come and take away their place because they did not deserve it. They didn't deserve peace. They didn't deserve goodness. They didn't hear the words of the Lord. They didn't have mercy on a man that was not just a man. They didn't have mercy on their own Messiah. And today, it's not a bit different. Everything is the same. The Lord is coming to to his people in many vessels out there, and they're getting treated the same way, with hatred, pride of religion, not receiving their words. You know, there is nothing new under the sun. History just keeps repeating because men fall into the same low estate and they treat their fellow man the way it was back in Jesus' day. What did the disciples do? What weapons did they carry? Did they hurt anybody? Never. What did Jesus do? Was he trying to raise up a rebellion? Well, against sin. Today, there are people who do their best to get the gospel out, and they don't do harm to anyone, but they've got the same people opposed to them. History always repeats. It just repeats with larger and larger groups of people. That's what the Lord told me years ago. It always repeats. Men make the same mistakes, and God has the same sense of justice. He doesn't judge people before they've given evidence of their sin. He knows what their sin is. He knows who they are. He knows what they will do. But he doesn't judge them until they give evidence of their sin, and then he judges them. It's kind of like what President Trump is doing right now. You know, he knew that this faction in the government was going to cause them to cheat and to steal this election because they did it in the last one. And did you notice they didn't prosecute him? And I believe that was because they did not want to warn them away. They wanted to bring in the larger group of people that have now gathered against him, criminals who are running from what they're being convicted of. Yes, they're trying to get out of a conviction. They know they have to bring Trump down. They know they have to put Biden in there because he's going to pardon them all. They're his buddies. So they're desperate to bring this man and this government down. And the people who maybe don't have anything like that, they're being paid by these people that do have a big axe to grind to bring this down. And as I've said before, a lot of these people don't have jobs and don't want jobs. They're just rebels. They think that they deserve everything. They think the government ought to give them everything. But you know what the Lord says? If a man don't work, he don't eat. And if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an unbeliever. That's what the Lord says. I believe it. I see people that are like that. So, Jesus and his disciples did no harm to anybody. They only did good. They only wanted to change people's lives for the better. They wanted to show them the principles that are sustainable. You know, they talk about sustainable nowadays, you know. And they don't know what sustainable is. There's no sustainable or sustainability to anybody that doesn't walk with the Lord. It's just not there. If you walk sowing the seeds of the Lord and of the kingdom, that's what you will reap from God, right? Now, Jesus died for our sins. He was not guilty. And he sacrificed his life, and the Father sacrificed his life as a lamb that was pure and hadn't done any evil to anybody. And today, there are people who have done great good. I'll tell you one, President Trump has done great good. What? None of these bleeding-hearted liberals have been able to bring about what he's brought about. None of them. He's done great good. And he's doing great good in bringing down the deep state, praise be to God. The deep state who have caused so much death, war. They've started war after war after war as sacrifices to their Lord Satan. And they've done great evil. And yet people, even some common people out there on the street, will side with them to persecute people who have done no evil. It's injustice. But it's not an injustice that's not going to be met by the Lord. He's going to awake. He is very merciful and he is gracious, wanting everybody to be able to repent that can. But he has a sense of justice and he's going to awake. And we're going to see justice like we saw at the Red Sea. That was justice. These criminals who had kept God's people in bondage. Oh, like the criminals we have now, this deep state bunch of organized crime who have kept God's people in bondage. And he is patient because he wants sinners to be saved, even sinners to be saved. In fact, the only people that can be saved is sinners. You have to be a sinner before you can be saved. And that's why a lot of times people, kids who are raised up in a Christian family, go out there and become sinners so they can get saved, because they don't recognize themselves as sinners. They think they're pretty good, you know. They got a pretty good idea of themselves, you know. And the wicked people out there, they don't realize that they have been pledging an allegiance to a very evil government that has killed an awful lot of people around the world. They don't realize in their self-righteousness that their patriotism is just a demon spirit, you know, worshiping a fallen and evil America. You say, David, this is the best country. Well, I don't believe it. But I tell you what, it can be a lot better. And I think we're headed in that direction for a very short time. And the thing is, we have to have a sense of justice and righteousness and purity. And if you do, you might be persecuted. And they might blame on you the things that they do. I know a guy that admitted in front of three people three or four times in a row he had gone back to trying to seduce a married woman. And he admitted because he wanted to be able to continue on, not because he wanted to repent, adultery and fornication. Three times. And then a bunch of people in the assembly had dreams about him lusting after and raping the women. And of course, it wasn't physical, but it was spiritual, and it was happening. And this is the guy that went out to blame other people for what he was doing. You see? So this is what's happening with the people that receive those same demons. And this is the fourth time for this guy. They're desperately trying to get rid of me. But they will fail. You know, Father has a sense of justice, and he is about to awake out of what people think is a sleep. And he's going to smite his enemies backwards. That's what the Bible says. So pray for the people that are out there. There's a lot of conservatives that don't know Jesus. There's a lot of Christians that don't know Jesus. But they are more acceptable and give more favor to our ways in our kingdom. And so we should pray for them, you know, not only to be saved, but we should pray for them that the Lord will protect them. You know, God has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, His word says. He may use them in a somewhat dishonorable way if you compare them to Christians, like President Trump. He does kill people. He tries to do it according to the law, but he does kill people. And that's not really our job. Our job is to save people, right? Even the wicked people can be very saved. In fact, when they realize they're wicked, that's when they are more likely to get saved, right? So, God lets people get very corrupt and very downfallen many times before He's ready to open their eyes to see what they were and cause them to turn to Him. He lets them see how they look through His eyes, and they are granted repentance and cry out in their sins. And they had to get to this low estate before they were willing to do that. Before that, they had delusions of how good they were. So, and another thing is, we have this delusion, especially here in America, of the goodness of our government. Our government wouldn't do that. Our government wouldn't do this, you know, because of what is hiding behind the scenes. It's Satan himself. It's Satan in Revelation 12 who is in the body of a 7-head, 10-horned dragon. And that dragon is out there now. And Satan is in every man who doesn't know Christ. And he's in all the people who say they know Christ, but they don't act like Christ. And, of course, that's a malady that can be healed, you know, because we're going to a place where many of them cannot, nor will they ever be healed. And God will not grant repentance. If you read that in the book of Revelation, no more people repented on earth. There came a point at that time. And when the fullness of the Gentiles become in, what does that mean? It means the last one that God will permit to come in. Then God turns back to the Jews. Interesting that He is going to bring an awakening to the Jews. And He is going to end His grace to a world full of people. Was it not that way at the flood? Some people say, oh, God wouldn't do that. He's a good God. He's a good God because He doesn't want these people in heaven, because heaven wouldn't be heaven. He's a good God because He does judge the wicked. It's not our job to judge the wicked. It's His job to judge the wicked. He's a good God, because at the flood, He did not want the seed of these wicked people to go on. We just happen to be at a time very similar to that. I asked the Lord one time, why was He doing this with these? This is way back, you know, before I really had a lot of understanding of what God was doing about this. Why are You doing this with these people? And the Lord told me, He said, you don't want these people to go into the tribulation with You, do you? In other words, this falling away of people who have their hidden sins and their self-righteousness and so on and so forth. They're puffed up because they got some fresh knowledge here and they're so on and so forth. God hates all that. You don't want them to go into the tribulation with you, do you? That's what he said. I thought, no, I really don't. We're in a similar situation. God is going to have to bring an end of a bunch of people so that it won't be as bad as it could be. Think about what would happen if God had not judged the world back at the flood when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That seed would have multiplied and multiplied and multiplied geometrically. The earth would be filled with evil. That's the way it was at that particular time. And he didn't want to progenate a whole bunch of more wicked people. Well, God is having mercy on America like we do not deserve. He is having mercy in draining this swamp. He ain't going to get them all. We know that. The seeds are still there. The tribulation's going to come. The whole world is going to hate us because this stuff is contagious. We spoke of it from the beginning as though it was an infection, as a disease, because it's so infectious. All you got to do is not treat your brother like your brother, and boom, you're gone. So God is having mercy on America and the world at this particular time, because there are people that don't mind killing millions and millions of people. They literally start wars and try to start nuclear wars. I don't know if you watched as Obama tried to do that on his way out, for goodness sake. To killing a lot of people is no more than killing one person to these people. Oh, how could we ever have peace on this earth, right, with these people like this? Well, we've been given time, you know, as one of our sisters, I think it was Sue Gilbert, had a dream about President Trump giving us time pieces. You know, he's giving away time, giving time. He's giving time. We were headed down a road of destruction. Obama was going to flood the United States with Islam and overcome Christianity here. And, of course, Hitlery was right behind him, going to be even worse. But God stopped it. He had great mercy on us to give us a time of peace, relative peace, at least from the beast, a relative time of peace. We can see that they're preparing their mark of the beast to vaccinate everybody and change their DNA to make them docile to the beast. We can see that they've got all these plans, but are they going to be able to bring them forth now? No, they're not going to be able to bring them. It's not the time. Shortly it will be. We've been given this little bit of time, and we got to make the best of it. Shortly it will be time, and a lot of people will have wasted everything between here and there. But we've been given time, and we need to use it to the very best of our ability to bring as many into the kingdom as possible. Because each one of these people that comes into the kingdom, if they didn't, they'd be passing on to their seed and their seed their same lost soul. So we've been given a little time to restore the kingdom, the real kingdom, the kingdom as a type of David, Jerusalem, Israel, so on and so forth, that kingdom. He's mentioned it many times, long after David was gone and that kingdom was gone. He's mentioned it many times. And Jesus is still sitting on the throne of that kingdom, according to the Bible. So that's the kingdom he's restoring. Of course, David had lots of wars to take out the enemies in the land. He had lots of wars, always fighting to defend the people of God from the enemies in the land. And he had a fruit, because there came a time when David died, but he had fruit, and his fruit was Solomon, the Prince of Peace. You see, the Prince of Peace is coming to those who are waiting for him, too. I'm not saying peace is coming to everybody. There is no peace to the wicked. You never can give peace to the wicked, because they're under the curse. That's not peace. But the Prince of Peace is coming to those who are waiting for him. Like when Jesus started his ministry. And he is called the Prince of Peace, right? So the Prince of Peace is bringing peace. The David warriors against the wicked are going to transform to the Prince of Peace. That seed, that fruit of David is coming. Jesus is going to awake as a man who was asleep. A lot of people still think of all that as just stuff in the past. Those miracles are not today. You know, that God went to sleep. We don't hear anything from him. Where are all the mighty works? Where are all the... They complained, you know. Well, we're going to see them too. Mightier and greater. God's got a plan. Lord, we praise you and we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We pray that you save from among the wicked those that are yours, Lord. We know you have an elect among them, and we pray earnestly that they would be delivered, their eyes would be opened to the evil that they do, and that you grant them repentance and turn their hearts towards you, and bring in the multitudes out there, Lord, who many of whom have had a taste of Christianity and didn't like it because it wasn't really Christianity, and didn't like it and didn't see any power in it because they weren't given power because of the Word of God not being taught to them. So they weren't given power. So they fell away back into the world, but they're still listening. There's a lot of them are going to return. A lot of them are going to return when they see true Christianity. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us victory through this battle. Thank you for justice coming forth. Thank you for our Lord Jesus awakening and defending his people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, thank you for joining me today. We will do this again. God bless you and keep you. Amen. Good night.